chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got quite a bit going. We're going to start off with an interview that Alex Jones had with Francis Boyle about this virus and the bioweapon aspect of it. Here we go now.
I argued that point in the court-martial of Captain Dr. Yolanda Hewitt Vaughn, who refused to give these shots because they violated the Nuremberg Code on medical experimentation. And to make a long story short, the last time I looked at these figures, and it's been a while since I've tried to help U.S. veterans who were subject to these shots, but out of 500,000 who were inoculated, 11,000 were killed and 100,000 were disabled. And those are figures from several years ago. Gottlieb's an insider. He knows what's going on here. And he's signaling to all the movers and shakers and the plutocrats who read the Wall Street Journal exactly what's going on. If you read Gottlieb's essay yesterday, first, they're going to go after all the old people, and they can easily track them down by means of their Medicare cards.
That's right.
Right. And that means then they can kill them off first, and they will not have to pay any more of their Medicare benefits. This is the Nazi philosophy of useless eaters at work that was condemned at the Nuremberg Tribunal itself and the main judgment in 1946, that Hitler and the Nazis had their philosophy of useless eaters.
I'm going to go to Dr. Boyle to give us the latest on this mRNA, what it really is. I wouldn't call it a vaccine. Other scientists thought you don't. It's like a mutagenic reprogramming of the cells, an autoimmune response to the placenta protein, and why you're calling it a bioweapon, and then we'll unpack all this in context to what you've previously broken here. Thank you so much, Dr. Boyle. We salute you, and we appreciate your tireless efforts.
Well, Alex, thank you very much for having me on, and happy holidays to all of your viewers out there. Hanukkah, Christmas coming up. I think the most critical thing now for me to point out is this. As we know, on December 10, the FDA is meeting to give this emergency authorization to these two messenger RNA so-called vaccines. Let me go back to you, Alex, to the original article we discussed in February on the proof, the smoking gun, that the COVID-19 came out of that UNC BSL-3 North Carolina with the bat queen from Wuhan BSL-4. If you have a look on it, one of the principal investigators was the Food and Drug Administration, the same people who are going to be giving this emergency approval to this, I would call Frankenshot, on Thursday, are the same people who developed COVID-19. Let me read the principal authors here. There are eight of them, in addition to the Bat Queen. Quote, National Center for Toxicological Research, Food and Drug Administration. So the Food and Drug Administration were working in cahoots with the Bat Queen from the Wuhan BSL-4. And these are the people who on Thursday are going to be giving this emergency use authorization to these extremely dangerous messenger RNAs. Now, you know, if you've taken a course in genetics, you know how powerful messenger RNA is. It goes into your body. It can do anything. It can just turn around the genetic composition of your body. We have no idea what these Frankenshots
are
going to do.
Well, that's what the most prestigious scientists out there, we're talking chief, you know, science officers, you know, of Pfizer, are like, this could turn your immune system off or kill you in a storm of antibodies, or it could attack your placenta. I mean, this is like playing around with hydrogen bombs.
That's exactly right. And but again, the critical point is the Food and Drug Administration manufactured COVID-19 with the Bat Queen for the Wuhan BSL-4. And now on Thursday, apparently, they're going to give this emergency approval for these Frankenshots that they say are going to protect us from the COVID-19 that the FDA helped develop. I mean, this is truly evil, as you were saying in your
And I know you don't like to speculate. You'll have the floor in the next long segment, but you got to. What the power grab, the people behind it using it, they're getting us ready for death. Gates says 700,000 might get sick or die. What is the end game of this? When we come back with Dr. Boyle, Francis A. Boyle's here with us. My God, I mean, this is like, it's all happening. It's totally insane. And big vaccine makers were in trouble last year, and now this is their big power grab. Or what is it? We'll get big picture with Dr. Boyle, and then he'll walk through all this and what the top scientists are saying. They're filing injunctions saying, don't do this. It's insane. And CNN goes, it's going to kill some people. Big deal. Okay, you're tuned in to the end of the second hour of the Alex Jones Show. Dr. Francis Boyle, lawyer, researcher, author of the U.S. Biological Weapons Law, one of the top advisors of the U.N. on this, been absolutely on target, saying what the former chief science officer of Pfizer is saying, and saying what Wolfgang Woodard, who heads up a major EU advisory board, very respected, is saying, medical doctors, that this is insane. They're like, this is so dangerous. This is so bad. We don't even, are you crazy? You're going to give liability protection to something you don't even think works and can shut your immune system on or totally turn it up and kill you and doesn't even protect you but attacks the placenta? So it's not what they say it is. Probably never had a vaccine for the common cold, which is, again, similar to this virus. Look at these headlines. CNN, don't be alarmed if people start dying after taking the vaccine. And it goes on and on. Top EU scientist warns COVID-19 vaccine like the sterilization of women. Stubbs comes out and says, well, he said it could sterilize women, not that it doesn't. So that's their correction. Wow. So this is what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Michael Yeadon, former vice president of Pfizer, head of science operations. You know, the guy that actually runs all the science. Head of Pfizer. Head of Pfizer. It's like we have William Benny used to head technical at NSA. He was like the number two guy. He actually ran it. I mean, that's like this is the guy that ran Pfizer, is saying, don't do this. This is a crime against humanity. Wolfgang Woodard heads up a major commission, the chair of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe Health Committee. Let's go back to Dr. Ball. I'll just shut up for the 9 minutes we have in this segment and get into what this does, how crazy it is. But just briefly, what are they thinking? Why would you commit a crime this big and get people ready for a bunch of dead folks from a vaccine? What the hell's going on here?
Well, that's one other point. I just wanted to elaborate on your comment of a crime against humanity. Yes, these Frankenshots will violate the Nuremberg Code on medical experimentation that went back to the doctor's case at Nuremberg, where we participated in the prosecution for war crimes of the Nazi doctors.
And this is Joseph Mengele stuff, and you're a world expert on this. Explain that. You're like the top lawyer when it comes to deciphering the Nuremberg Code, the Geneva Convention. This is a blatant violation of that.
Yes, it's clearly this is an experimental vaccine subject to the Nuremberg Code on medical experimentation. The FDA thinks that they can opt out of it. Indeed, the last, and by the way, under the Nuremberg principles, you cannot plead your domestic legal order to excuse violations of Nuremberg
crimes. Just following orders, Professor, doesn't cut it.
Right. Or, well, I was just obeying the procedures of the FDA. Right. So this is these are Nuremberg crimes. And we've been through this before, Alex. In the run-up to Gulf War I, the FDA gave emergency authorization to experimental vaccines for biological warfare agents, not as dangerous as COVID-19, but anthrax and botulin.
That's a great point. You've been involved in a lot of those cases. They allowed experimentation on the troops. Hundreds of thousands got sick. Tens of thousands died conservatively. And you're saying this is part two. So I know you only get into facts, but I want you to get into those. We'll get into it next hour. But what do you think the motive is? You're a smart guy. We're this probably the smartest.
I just wanted to follow up on that point. Yes, I was involved in the court-martial of the doctor who refused to give those shots. But those shots, out of 500,000 U.S. troops who were inoculated, 11,000 died and 100,000 were disabled.
God.
And those were healthy young men and women in our armed forces.
Say that again, because people forget botulism, anthrax. So why is the medical system doing this? Is it about setting a precedent to murder people? Why?
Well, I think that's what's going on now. We're talking about population reduction. We're going back to the Kissinger National Security Memorandum saying that population reduction and control are in the national security interests of the United States. But let me go back.
I got to back you up. I know a lot of former special operations people, not just your standard, the highest levels. They go, yeah, my buddy died of a vaccine in Afghanistan. Yeah, my buddy died in Germany. They all know people that died from the shots. What you're saying is on record, too. It's like, this is crazy. Go ahead.
That's correct. And in the anthrax and botulin shots, clear-cut violation of the Nuremberg Code on medical experimentation, we argued that point. I argued that point in the court-martial of Captain Dr. Yolanda Hewitt Vaughn, who refused to give these shots because they violated the Nuremberg Code on medical experimentation. And to make a long story short, the last time I looked at these figures, and it's been a while since I've tried to help U.S. veterans who were subject to these shots, but out of 500,000 who were inoculated, 11,000 were killed and 100,000 were disabled. And those are figures from several years ago. The same thing happened in Britain. You're seeing today Britain gave even more emergency use. They did the exact same thing to the British troops. I was involved in the blowing the whistle over there in a TV4 documentary, The Dirty War. The French did not give those shots because they had been burned once before in their Indochina war with experimental anthrax vaccines, and the French troops did not come down with those shots.
Sure. So you're saying it's population reduction and a sinister group in the medical corps that wants to be able to commit crimes, cover them up, to compromise the medical corps of nations, to then use that medical corps to take over the nation, which is what I think we see happening right now.
Well, I'm just going one step at a time here, Alex. You know, I'm a lawyer. I go one step at a time. So we've been through this before, and those figures, I think, are just the floor for what we can expect to happen here, because these messenger RNA vaccines that the FDA is going to approve on December 10 are completely novel and extremely dangerous. So, yes, I think we're going to see a mass kill-off. Now, yesterday in the Wall Street Journal was an article by Scott Gottlieb indicating what their agenda is. Scott Gottlieb was former head of the FDA. Again, the same people who gave us COVID-19 and are now going to give us the emergency use for these two messenger RNA. He was head of FDA in 2017 when the Department of Health and Human Services, of which he's a part, ended the pause letters on the gain-of-function work at the UNC BSL-3, where the Wuhan bat queen was, and the FDA were developing the COVID-19 biowarfare weapon. If you read yesterday's, Gottlieb's an insider. He knows what's going on here, and he's signaling to all the movers and shakers and the plutocrats who read the Wall Street Journal exactly what's going on. If you read Gottlieb's essay yesterday, first they're going to go after all the old people, and they can easily track them down by means of their Medicare cards.
That's right.
Right. And that means then they can kill them off first, and they will not have to pay any more of their Medicare benefits. Then they're going to go after blacks and Latinos and indigenous people. They are it's all in there. I sent you my analysis. I sent it to your assistant there, Daria. You can look at it right there. I go through it with all the quotations. Then they're going to go after poor people. They are going to go after homeless people. And it's clear if you read through what Gottlieb is saying, this is the Nazi philosophy of useless eaters at work that was condemned at the Nuremberg Tribunal itself and the main judgment in 1946, that Hitler and the Nazis had their philosophy of useless eaters. They also made it clear elsewhere they're going to be targeting disabled people who are mentally and physically disabled.
That's so how they hide it. They say, oh, at-risk groups, Latinos, poor blacks, poor whites, old people. And Bill Gates goes, old are going to need 5 shots. And then he goes, and 700,000 will get sick or die. And then CNN goes, some are going to die. Get ready. I mean, they're just getting ready to normalize carrying these operations out against us. These are, remember Bill Gates said, don't take care of old people, euthanize them. We'll be back with hour number 3, Dr. Francis Boyle, who's a prestigious lawyer that wrote the U.S. biological weapons law. We are so honored to have him. And what he's saying is I've spent years studying this and days looking at each of these things. I mean, this what he's saying is all on record. This is it. All right, this is a short segment, long segment coming up. Dr. Francis Boyle is our guest. He's laying out these lawsuits filed in the EU, you name it, saying they admit in the studies that are even limited, this could sterilize women, cause autoimmune disorders, super dangerous. But still, the system's doing this. They're moving forward. Dr. Boyle, continue, please.
Right. Well, I gave my analysis of the Gottlieb article to your assistant there, Daria, and you have my permission to post that analysis on your webpage. The other point about Gottlieb, you have to understand, first, this is in the Wall Street Journal. So all the movers and the shakers and the plutocrats understand exactly what the agenda here. It's the implementation of the Nazi philosophy of useless eaters by means of violating the Nuremberg Code on medical experimentation with these Franken-shots. Now, the other point to keep in mind about Gottlieb, he said, well, he's an associate there at the American Enterprise Institute. Right. AEI is a haven and a nest for the Straussian neocons from the University of Chicago, which we discussed before, where I was educated in their program. The Straussian neocons are all at AEI along with Gottlieb. And Strauss's sponsor and mentor in Germany was Carl Schmitt, the leading Nazi law professor of that benighted era, who justified every hideous atrocity Hitler and the Nazis inflicted on everyone, including the Jews, disabled, gay people, Roma, and of course, all the Slavic people there in Eastern Europe were you know, exterminated.
So it's a survival of the fittest cult that came out of the Rockefellers and the British into the Nazis back to us, and now it's here again.
Well, Alex, you started out your program here with me just saying that 85 years ago we were dealing with the Nazis. Well, we're dealing with them again, but they are now us, as Pogo said. We've met the enemy, and he is us. And so we are seeing a cabal of people with a Nazi mentality pursuing Nazi programs, not only in the development of the COVID-19, but then also with these Frankenshots. There's no other word for it. And just read my analysis of the Gottlieb article in yesterday's Wall Street Journal, where he prioritizes who is going to be killed off first with these extremely dangerous messenger RNA shots. They're going to be the Untermensch, right, the useless eaters. That's exactly right. And then all the plutocrats there on Wall Street, read the Wall Street Journal, the banks, everyone else, they won't have to pay for them anymore. All those benefits that these people have gotten, the taxes they've paid, the hard work they've done, the greatest generation now sitting in
Chuck Hager just died. All of that they admit by saying all this medical stuff's not essential. The millions of dead, they admit, Europe, the U.S. from non-treatment. The insurance companies are all getting the money with no service. See how that works?
Sure. It's all about big money and population reduction, right? That's the article, and I just sent my analysis of that article to your assistant, and you can.
I agree. Let's recap it and go through how we stop it with our guest, Dr. Francis A. Boyle, author of the U.S. Biological Weapons Law, straight ahead, pointing out that the Pfizer mRNA vaccine is a bioweapon, joining a lot of other scientists. All right, one more segment with Dr. Francis Boyle, then your phone calls coming up next segment, ladies and gentlemen. But he's the author of the U.S. Biological Weapons Law, contributed major to the U.N. World Law. He's saying it goes further than what Dr. Wolfgang Wodarg and the big EU advisory board and the former chief scientist of Pfizer is saying, that this can sterilize you, this can give you autoimmune disorders, this can kill you. He's saying it's probably worse than that. I mean, this isn't even a vaccine. This is a system that reprograms your cells. It's just, and they're saying, hey, it may kill you, it may hurt you. They want us to all accept now this new system, and they're trying to say it's going to be mandatory and airlines are going to make you do it. So we've got 9 minutes left in this segment. Dr. Boyle, lay it all out for people, because I was interrupting some. You did a great job. But just the whole spectrum of what this is and what you think America's response should be, what President Trump should do. I think it's been bamboozled by this so far.
Well, I think we're going to have to resist these Frankenshots, sure, by all means. If you have parents in nursing homes, you're going to have to go in there and save them and make sure they don't get these shots. They're going to be killed off. The greatest generation, and indeed some of my generation now, the Woodstock generation, are in nursing homes. I hate to say it, but you know, the senior citizens are most at risk here. And again, you started here the Second World War. You know, it's December 8th. My dad went down to Marine Corps headquarters in Chicago and signed up for becoming the Marine Corps officer candidate to fight Japan. That is what we are in here. You were correct in your opening statement. We are in, as I said before, Alex, World War III here against COVID-19 and now against these Nazi Frankenshots. Yeah, it's a full-scale attack, not on the wealthy people, not on the plutocrats, not on the people calling the shots, but all the rest of us. Right. And that's why I'm here today. Sorry I couldn't go on last week. I was tied up, and this is the first chance I've had since you asked me on. That's what is facing us as human beings, and certainly as citizens of the United States of America, where this all came out of COVID-19, the UNC BSL-3, and now the FDA giving this completely bogus emergency authorization in clear-cut violation of the Nuremberg Code on medical experimentation, which we've already litigated in the court-martial of Captain Dr. Yolanda Hewitt Vaughn for the experimental anti-biowarfare vaccines for anthrax and botulism. There is no vaccine that is going to work on COVID-19. Indeed, if you studied the matter, after Barrick and the rest of them developed COVID-19 there at the UNC BSL-3, they did not even bother to deal with a vaccine because they knew it wasn't going to work. And so they immediately moved into remdesivir. Okay, and we can discuss remdesivir all you want, but they knew the vaccine was not going to work. I don't see how any vaccine is going to work here with COVID-19. As you correctly pointed out, we've spent a generation trying to get a vaccine for cancer. We still don't have one. We know COVID-19 has HIV DNA genetically engineered in there. We don't have a vaccine to prevent HIV. So, you know, this is pie in the sky. It is genocidal. And they're all making money out of it. Now, to be fair, Barrick apparently has just decided to get back into vaccines because there's money to be made. So, okay. But right after that was the case, they moved immediately into remdesivir. They did not move into a vaccine because I think they realized that it was hopeless. And by the way, now we're seeing on TV Gottlieb running around and trying to pawn off these vaccines. We are seeing a full court press across the board. If you go back to that tabletop exercise, October 2019, paid for by Gates, you will see that they've already planned to roll out their propaganda campaign here. That tabletop exercise is really a euphemism for a war plan and a war game. They didn't want to call it that, but that's really what it was. And when the
Pentagon, right. And Trump's biggest failure is going along with Event 201 and buying into it, thinking it would fix the economy and end the lockdown. No, they now say, oh, the lockdown doesn't end, and it doesn't even Pfizer and Moderna have said, this probably won't protect you from infection and won't stop you spreading it. Well, what the hell kind of vaccine is that? When they're telling us, like you said on the show 10 months ago, you were on here 10 months ago or 9.5 months ago, and you said it will not work. How did you know that, Dr. Boyle?
By studying it. It's that simple. And based on previous experience with the anthrax and botulin vaccines and having dealt that with that at great length, in our defense of Captain Dr. Hewitt Vaughn. And as a matter of fact, the court-martial there was so bad, afterwards I came out and had a press conference in front of satellite dishes, and I accused President Bush, Cheney, he was Secretary of Defense, Colin Powell, and Schwarzkopf of committing a Nuremberg crime on our own troops. That went out nationwide. It even went to the White House. I was told by a lawyer there they're all shaken up.
Well, let's be clear. It's not about credit. It's true. You did that. Others did that. You were at the tip of the spear then. That got those secret programs and programs canceled for a while. We need this again. They're trying to get everyone to stampede and beg for the vaccine, get everything waived by Trump. Trump's biggest failure was agreeing to this. I understand he was trying to counter Biden, but it's a horrible mistake Trump made. He's out right now pushing this damn warp speed. And, notice they try to hedge their bets. They go, oh, if there is death, it's because Trump sped it up. I think Trump's been set up by this, Dr. Boyle.
Well, let me go back. So after I had done this, then Senator Jay Rockefeller held hearings on the vaccines. And at the end of the hearings, he also agreed with me and publicly stated Bush and the rest of them had inflicted a Nuremberg crime on our own troops by forcing.
And so we need that again. So how important is what? Obviously, you probably need to help, Professor, you probably need to help Wolfgang Wudarg and this other Pfizer scientist because, you know, they're trying to file stuff, but with your expertise, they're doing the right thing, filing emergency injunctions. Is that accurate?
Well, I haven't read a lawsuit yet being filed in an American court, but yes, I'm willing to offer my services free of charge, as I did to Captain Hewitt Vaughn, for any lawyers out there willing to enjoin the distribution of these vaccines, and especially to stop FDA. Right. They just have to contact me. And we can put something together.
Well, that's wonderful. But in closing, I want to thank you for your long service for humanity, not just America, Dr. Boyle. But seriously, every day there's two or three top microbiologists, heads of universities, head scientists, government advisors. Look at this guy. Top microbiologist says COVID vaccine, downright dangerous, will send you to your doom. This is on Fox News. I mean, everybody's warning except the big pharma crazies. It's like Deepwater Horizon, when they ordered him to dump water into the hole instead of concrete. The engineer said it's going to blow up, and the executive said, I don't care, we'll save $45 million. I mean, these are crazy people. What are they doing?
This is a Nazi mentality, Alex. You've studied history. I've studied history. I told you I went through the exact same program at Harvard that produced Kissinger before me, the Harvard Graduate School of Arts and Sciences, Department of Government, specializing in international relations, and they gave me Kissinger's old office there at Harvard Center for International Affairs. That's what people like Kissinger are trained to do at Harvard. And by the way, Harvard was involved not only in the Wuhan BSL-4, Harvard is also listed on the UNC contract there with Barrett and the back.
That's right. All the people running the cover-up and the rollout are the ones involved. Dr. Boyle, people can just Google your name, Dr. Professor Francis A. Boyle, find your books and more. Thank you so much. Amazing and powerful.
Well, thanks for having me on and to deliver this message to the American people.
Absolutely.
Next clip we're going to play is with Kerry Mullis. He created the PCR test, and he's saying that Dr. Fauci doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Here we go next now.
What is it? What is it about humanity that wants to go to all the details and stuff and listen? You know, these guys like Fauci get up there and start talking. You know, he doesn't know anything really about anything, and I'd say that to his face, nothing. The man thinks you can take a blood sample and stick it in an electron microscope, and if it's got a virus in there, you'll know it. He doesn't understand electron microscopy, and he doesn't understand medicine, and he should not be in a position like he's in. Most of those guys up there on the top are just total administrative people, and they don't know anything about what's going on at the bottom. You know, those guys have got an agenda, which is not what we would like them to have, being that we pay for them to take care of our health in some way. They've got a personal kind of agenda. They make up their own rules as they go. They change them when they want to, and they smugly, like Tony Fauci, does not mind going on television in front of the people that pay his salary and lie directly into the camera. You can't expect the sheep to really respect the best and the brightest. They don't know the difference, really. I mean, I like humans, don't get me wrong, but basically the vast majority of them do not possess the ability to judge who is and who isn't a really good scientist. I mean, that's a problem, that's a main problem actually with science, I'd say, in this century, because science is being judged by people. Funding is being done by people who don't understand it. Okay, who do we trust? Fauci? Fauci doesn't know enough to, you know. If Fauci wants to get on television with somebody who knows a little bit about this stuff and debate him, he could easily do it because he's been asked. I mean, I've had a lot of people, president of the University of South Carolina, ask Fauci if he'd come down there and debate me on the stage in front of the student body, because I wanted somebody who was from the other side to come down there and balance my, because I felt like, well, these guys can listen to me, but I need to have somebody else down here.
That was Dr. Kerry Mullis. He was American. He is an American biochemist and inventor of the polymerase chain reaction technique. He shared the 1993 Nobel Prize in Chemistry. And so he's... He's a heavyweight. He says that Fauci doesn't know what he's doing. So that's very, very important. And coming up next, we have Dr. Pierre Corey. and he's going to testify about a treatment method of Invectine as a prophylactic to prevent this virus and also to treat it and make you well. Here we go with Dr. Pierre Corey.
Our next witness is here in person, Dr. Pierre Corey. Dr. Corey is the former associate professor and chief of the critical care service and medical director of the Trauma and Life Support Center at the University of Wisconsin and recently joined the ICU service at Aurora St. Luke Medical Center in Milwaukee. He is board certified in critical medicine, pulmonary diseases, and internal medicine. Dr. Corey has traveled across multiple states in the U.S. to care for COVID-19 patients throughout the pandemic. He is also the president of the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, a nonprofit organization of critical care specialists led by Professor Paul Merrick, whose mission over the last 9 months has focused on the research and development of effective treatment protocols for COVID-19 using repurposed drugs. He received his MD from St. George's University School of Medicine, and I'll only add that we added Dr. Corey very late to a hearing in May, because I'd heard of his development of, anti-inflammatory steroids in critical care on COVID. And Dr. Corey, I have to tell you, I've had doctors come up to me and thank me for holding that hearing where they listened to you, changed their thinking. They believe they've saved their patients' lives because of your testimony at that hearing. I hope your testimony will be as impactful today. Dr. Corey.
Senator, thank you, and thank you for holding this hearing. I just want to start out, I didn't think I'd have to say this, but I want to register my offense at the ranking member's opening statement. I was discredited as a politician. I am a physician and a man of science. I have done nothing but commit myself to scientific truth and the care of patients. And to hear that I'm here because of a political angle, I am not a politician, I'm a physician. I want to start out by saying that I'm not speaking as an individual. I'm speaking on behalf of the organization that I'm a part of. We are a group of some of the most highly published physicians in the world. We have near 2,000 peer-reviewed publications among us, led by Professor Paul Marek, who is our intellectual leader. We came together early on in the pandemic, and all we have sought is to review the world's literature on every facet of this disease, trying to develop effective protocols. You just mentioned that I was here in May, and I recommended that it was critical that we use corticosteroids in this disease when all of the national and international healthcare organizations said we cannot use those. That turned out to be a life-saving recommendation. I am here again today with a new recommendation. In the last 9 months, in our review of all of the literature, as a group, again, we are some of the most highly published physicians in our specialty and the world. We have done nothing but try to figure out how to identify a repurposed and available drug to treat this illness. We have now come to the conclusion after 9 months, and I have to point out, I am severely troubled by the fact that the NIH, the FDA, and the CDC, I do not know of any task force that was assigned or compiled to review repurposed drugs in an attempt to treat this disease. Everything has been about novel and or expensive pharmaceutically engineered drugs, things like tocilizumab and remdesivir and monoclonal antibodies and vaccines. We have 100 years of medicine development. We know we are expert in all the medicines we use, and I do not know of a task force that has been focused on repurposed drugs. I will tell you that my group and our organization, I will say that we have filled that void. That is all we have done is focus on the things we know and things we do. And I'm here to tell you, Dr. Ryder, he just presented. He has one study of the many that I want to talk about. And I want to talk about that we have a solution to this crisis. There is a drug that is proving to be of miraculous impact. And when I say miracle, I do not use that term lightly. And I don't want to be sensationalized when I say that. That is a scientific recommendation based on mountains of data that has emerged in the last 3 months. When I am told, and I just had to hear this in the opening sentence, that we are touting things that are not FDA or NIH recommended, let me be clear. The NIH, their recommendation on ivermectin, which is to not use it outside of controlled trials, is from August 27th. We are now in December. This is 3 to 4 months later. Mountains of data have emerged from many centers and countries around the world showing the miraculous effectiveness of ivermectin. It basically obliterates transmission of this virus. If you take it, you will not get sick. I want to briefly summarize the data. My manuscript, again, published by some of we have contributed more to the medical knowledge of our specialty in our careers than anyone else can claim as a group. And our manuscript, which was posted on Medicine Preprint Server, details all of this evidence. I want to briefly summarize it. Number one, we have evidence that ivermectin is effective not only in prophylaxis, in the prevention. If you take it, you will not get sick. We just came across a trial last night from Argentina by the lead investigator of ivermectin in Argentina, Dr. Hector Carvalho. They prophylaxed 800 healthcare workers. Not one got sick. In the 400 that they didn't prophylax with ivermectin, 58% got sick. 237 of those 400 got sick. If you take it, you will not get sick. It has immense and potent antiviral activity. We know that from the first study in Monash, it has made the bench to the bedside. Prophylaxis, we now have 4 large randomized controlled trials totaling over 1,500 patients, each trial showing that as a prophylaxis agent, it is immensely effective. You will not get sick. You will be protected from getting ill if you take it. In early outpatient treatment, we have 3 randomized controlled trials and multiple observation as well as case series showing that if you take ivermectin, the need for hospitalization and death will decrease. The most profound evidence we have is in the hospitalized patients. We have 4 randomized controlled trials there, multiple observation trials, all showing the same thing. You will not die, or you will die at much, much, much lower rates. Statistically significant, large magnitude results if you take ivermectin. It is proving to be a wonder drug. It has already won the Nobel Prize in Medicine in 2015 for its impacts on global health in the eradication of parasitic diseases. It is proving to be an immensely powerful antiviral and anti-inflammatory agent. It is critical for its use in this disease. We, again, stand by our manuscript. It is a scientific manuscript. It's been submitted for peer review. But please recognize, peer review takes time. It takes months. We do not have months. We have 100,000 patients in the hospital right now dying. I'm a lung specialist. I'm an ICU specialist. I've cared for more dying COVID patients than anyone can imagine. They're dying because they can't breathe. They can't breathe. They're on high flow oxygen delivery devices. They're on non-invasive ventilators and or they're sedated and paralyzed and attached to mechanical ventilators that breathe for them. And I watch them every day. They die. By the time they get me in the ICU, they're already dying. They're almost impossible to recover. Early treatment is key. We need to offload the hospitals. We are tired. I can't keep doing this. If you look at my manuscript, and if I have to go back to work next week, any further deaths are going to be needless deaths, and I cannot be traumatized by that. I cannot keep caring for patients when I know that they could have been saved with earlier treatment, and that drug that will treat them and prevent the hospitalization is ivermectin. I am here today. I'm calling to action. The NIH, their last recommendation was August 27th. August 27th. I want to be clear. I am not here as a politician or a dramatist or sensationalizing what I'm recommending. I am going to be very clear and very simple. All I ask is for the NIH to review our data that we've compiled of all of the emerging data. We have almost 30 studies. Everyone is reliably and reproducibly positive, showing the dramatic impacts of ivermectin. Please, I'm just asking that they review our manuscript. It is a serious manuscript by serious, highly experienced physicians and researchers. I cannot call on more credibility than we have. We're not just a random doctor who's saying that we have a cure. I don't want to say I have a cure. I'm just asking review our data. We have immense amounts of data to show that ivermectin must be implemented and implemented now. Senator, the last thing I want to say is, you know who's dying here? It's our African-American and Latino and elderly. It's some of the most disadvantaged and impoverished members of our society. They are dying at higher rates than anyone else. It's the most severe discrepancy I've seen in my medical career. And we are responsible to protect those disadvantaged members. We have a special duty to provide countermeasures. The amount of evidence to show that ivermectin is life-saving and protective is so immense, and the drug is so safe. My colleagues have talked about it. It must be instituted and implemented. I am asking the NIH to review our data and come up with
recommendations. Sort of clipped off there at the end, but Dr. Corey is quite an outstanding person, upright guy. But anyway, next we have Tucker Carlson talking about China with our Director of National Intelligence. Here we go now with Tucker.
So last week in the Wall Street Journal, there was a kind of remarkable op-ed stating as clearly as anyone has ever stated the nature of the threat that we face from China. The op-ed was written by someone who would know, the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe. He called the Communist Party of China, quote, the greatest threat to democracy and freedom worldwide since World War II. It's an amazing piece, worth your time if you haven't read it. In just a moment, we'll have Director Ratcliffe on to discuss that. He wrote this, quote, the intelligence is clear. Beijing intends to dominate the United States and the rest of the planet economically, militarily, and technologically. I call its approach of economic espionage, rob, replicate, and replace. China robs U.S. companies of their intellectual property, replicates the technology, and then replaces the U.S. firms in the global marketplace. Now, those aren't simply legal disputes. They have actual consequences for millions of American workers on our standard of living, on what your kids will do for a living. Ratcliffe noted that in 2018, a Chinese wind turbine manufacturer ripped off trade secrets from a Massachusetts-based infrastructure company called American Semiconductor. As a direct result of that theft, American Semiconductor lost over $1 billion in value and had to cut 700 jobs. Now, that didn't happen because the company, American Semiconductor, was careless. It happened because they were the victim of theft. That's happening everywhere, including in the Pentagon. According to Ratcliffe, quote, China also steals sensitive U.S. defense technology to fuel President Xi Jinping's aggressive plan to make China the world's foremost military power. U.S. intelligence shows that China has even conducted human testing on members of the People's Liberation Army in the hope of developing soldiers with biologically enhanced capabilities. There are no ethical boundaries to Beijing's pursuit of power. Remarkable. We know where this is leading, and Ratcliffe's op-ed spells it out. Quote, Beijing is preparing for an open-ended period of confrontation with the United States. Washington should also be prepared. Leaders must work across partisan divides to understand the threat, speak about it openly, and take action to address it. John Ratcliffe is the Director of National Intelligence, the man with more intelligence before him than anyone on the globe apart from the president. We're happy to have him on tonight. Director, thanks so much for coming on.
Tucker, good to see you.
You spell this out so clearly that it made me wonder why the rest of us, so many in our public life, haven't been saying this for quite some time. You make it sound obvious.
Well, I think you did a good job of encapsulating why, Tucker. There are a lot of people who, for economic reasons, don't want China to be our greatest threat. There are a lot of people who, for political reasons, don't want China to be our greatest threat in America. But the intelligence doesn't lie. China is our greatest threat, and it's not even close. No other country has the capability of essentially taking away the American dream and a specific plan to do so, and the intelligence is clear. So, Tucker, I wanted to use the unique vantage point that I have to make sure, you know, as the Director of National Intelligence, my job is to warn the American people of threats, and there is no greater threat than China to America.
The most jarring part of the piece, I thought, was your description of the massive ramp-up of the Chinese military. And from your telling, not necessarily for defensive purposes. What do you think their aim is?
Well, again, dominate militarily, technologically, and economically. On the military front, they've already achieved having the largest navy of any country in the world. From a military force standpoint, the People's Republic of China has a military of 2 million. They want them to be the largest, and they also want them to be the strongest, which is why they're engaged in what you reference, which is called gene editing, literally trying to alter the DNA, experimenting on DNA to make soldiers, sailors, and airmen stronger and more powerful.
That's horrifying. Do you think Beijing anticipates some kind of physical confrontation with the United States in the next several years?
Well, here's the funny thing, Tucker, is China knows at this point that the United States is still the world's superpower. They know they're catching us in all of those respects. They're banking on the fact that we're not going to do anything until they're superior in all those respects. You know, great generals always say it's better to fight downhill. Right now, the United States can fight downhill against China. We don't ever want to be in a position where we're looking up at China. And all of the plans that they have, all of the initiatives made in China, the Digital Silk Road, Belt and Road Initiative, those are all thin veneers and facades for which China is going around the world and essentially gaining the influence, power to become the world's superpower and supplant the United States in that role.
We heard a lot over the past 4 years about Russia's ability to break into John Podesta's Gmail account. To the extent you can, to the extent it's not classified, give us a sense of China's penetration into our networks, government networks.
Well, it's significant and growing every day. And Tucker, you made a great point in your opening about Russia. Listen, they are a dangerous adversary. I don't mean to minimize them, but you made the point correctly about economically, Russia can't compete the way China can. The largest economy in the world is the United States. The second largest is China. Russia's not in the top 10. Italy, Brazil, and the state of Texas have a larger economy than Russia. So as dangerous as Russia can be, they cannot compete with us the way China is. And China has a very specific plan to do that. And one of the ways that China has made their way to the top is they understand that information is the key to their dominance. So they're going to get there any way they possibly can. That's what subsidizing Huawei and ZTE is all about. Yeah. Those are Chinese companies that are run by the Chinese government. They know that they can steal more information if they run the telecommunications networks over which our information travels. That's one of the ways that China has gotten so good in terms of getting into our networks and into our information society.
We've been asleep. Thank you for helping to wake people up. John Ratcliffe, Director of National Intelligence.
Appreciate Great to be with you, Tucker. Thanks.
Next is Alex Jones speaking at the Jericho March, December 12th in Washington, D.C. Here we go with Alex.
Folks, in the spirit of unity, I'd like to bring out my new friend, Alex Jones, is it? I think his name is Alex Jones.
But Jesus Christ is King. And God gave us and rose up Donald Trump to stand against the enemy and draw out the enemy. So as dark as some of these days are, understand, this is the beginning of the great revival before the Antichrist comes. World government, implantable microchips, Satanism, it's out of the open. The Bible is fulfilled. Revelation is fulfilled. Jesus Christ is fulfilled. God Almighty is in charge, and we follow that mighty God. You look at the miserable globalist. You look at people like Bill Gates, and you look at people like Mark Zuckerberg and the rest of them. They are miserable slaves of Satan, and we pray for them and hope that the Holy Spirit can still touch their soul. But more importantly, we pray for President Donald John Trump in this incredibly serious moment. And we pray for all the women in America who the system's trying to lie to kill their babies. And we say, don't kill your babies. The enemy has been forced out in the open. World government is here. and the system is publicly stealing this election from the biggest landslide and the biggest political realignment since 1776. Our God is the God of the universe. Our God is the God of strength and honor and will. And God is in control. And God is on our side. So we praise God and we thank God. And we know that it's all in God's plan and the Lord works in mysterious ways. Christ's crucifixion was not our defeat. It was our greatest victory. When he rose again on the third day, he broke the chains of hell and death. We have the deed to this planet. We have the deed to eternal life. And we praise Jesus Christ and the Father. The enemy wants to keep the whorehouses open and the liquor stores open and the Walmarts open and the Targets and the Amazons while they tell you the churches are non-essential. Congress shall make no law establishing the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or the free exercise thereof. Meaning, our forebears did not have separation of church and state as they spent it. It means the state has no jurisdiction over any of us. Our relationship with God is sacred and is eternal. So no, whatever happens, we will never give up. We will never surrender. We will never back down to the satanic, pedophile, globalist, New World Order. And their walking dead, reanimated corpse, Joe Biden. And we will never recognize him. Trump, President Trump had zero connection to Russians. No proof. 4 years of investigation. With the Bidens, it's open and shut. So I don't know who's going to the White House in 38 days, but I sure know this. Joe Biden is a globalist, and Joe Biden will be removed one way or another. Our great first president, we literally are here on his farm, that's where we're at, George Washington, didn't want to be king, and had to serve two terms and set that precedent. He left. He was a very quiet man and didn't talk about his beliefs when he was a Christian. But those that knew him privately knew, he knew God controlled battlefields. God controlled governments. God controls the gangs. And all his success was because of his love of God. And being in line with God. So never forget, we worship the true God that created the universe and all of us. And the satanic globalists trying to take control of us and trying to play God are fallen and are failed. And we need to just keep our eyes on Christ and never back down and never surrender. At 4 o'clock today, we're going to march back to the Supreme Court. You got some other great folks at Freedom Plaza. If some of you aren't here later, go get them. Lead them to the Supreme Court at 4 at this great event. But pray for America. Pray for the world. Pray for Trump. And realize you're not going to get instant gratification. But with Trump, it's as close as it got. Look how far we've come. Look at what we've been able to do. And this is just the beginning. I'm going to turn this over to my buddy for 2 minutes. My great co-host at InfoWars.com, Owen Schroyer. And then the next great guests are coming up here, but remember this. God ordained this republic to stand against the satanic empires, the Nazis and the communists and others. And so, 1776 is God's number of victory over the satanic 1984. God bless you all, and I salute you. Thank you, Jesus.